Welcome, podcasts. I hope you're keeping well in the middle of all of this. I'm in my garden again and I'm getting a little bit of fresh air and trying to see what birds are coming down to the feeders. It's been a bit of a blustery spring day with high levels of sunshine and a little smattering of rain as well, which has been nice in some parts and out in the garden and then trying to dodge the wet. We've actually been in high fire risk this weekend as well. And as part of that, one of my essential roles is to check our trails for fires. So for those of you who may not know, the pine wood is essentially a large tinderbox with even the soil being flammable. So lots of peat soils across the whole of the reserve. So it's one of our essential work initiatives to make sure that that the forest doesn't burn down. So that meant that I got the privilege of walking through the forest yesterday evening. So I spent a lot of my time in that point scanning the loch to try and see if there's any ospreys around, but the privilege sadly wasn't mine. I discovered today while reading Facebook comments that a local man who lives within about a mile of the centre had actually spotted an osprey over the loch. So there is still hope that we will get breeding ospreys at the nest this season. Our hopes, however, of finding out what's going on have been dashed by circumstance. Our cameras are not able to be connected due to the refurbishment, and our staff are not allowed to work on site because of the coronavirus, and so this could all be taken as quite pessimistic. But today I've been feeling more optimistic about it, and I've been feeling almost like how the community possibly felt in those early days of the project, when there was only whisperings of ospreys being around and people getting glimpses of them over the loch. So in some ways I feel it's kind of cast me back, which has been quite nice. I would also quite like there to be a really happy news story when we do get out of lockdown, that we could possibly return to the nest and have this big surprise of ospreys sitting there. So it'd be quite interesting. So I thought I would talk today a little bit about what attracted me to this role and how I ended up here. Because I've been having that conversation with a couple of different people about how is it that we get people into nature and how did we end up in nature ourselves. And so it might be a bit of a surprise to some of you to find out that I wasn't actually a classic bird person when I started this role. I got sucked up into the bird world very fast. But I actually started being interested in the forest and the regeneration project that was going on, and slowly that turned into this obsession with birds, I guess you could call it. You meet a lot of really avid people who are interested in lots of different species, and that definitely rubs off on you. So that kind of got me thinking, what was the moment, if there was a sort of pinpoint moment, that people get turned on to nature? And for me, I didn't really have one. And I've been asking a couple of different people about this to see if there was some sort of epiphany that they had when they were growing up, because that's often what the research is showing, that the kids that spend a lot of time in nature are more likely to look for it in their future. And for me, I maybe didn't realize the time that I was spending out in the garden was rubbing off on me and having this effect on me. But there wasn't really a moment that I could say, oh, that I'm into nature now. And so that's why I started talking to a self-proclaimed osprey fanatic who got into nature through watching the webcams. And for me, this wasn't the most organic introduction to nature, so it really caught my attention. And so not only this, but Valerie has become the information hub for a lot of osprey enthusiasts. So through her Facebook page, she's been collating loads and loads of different osprey sightings, and is essentially where I'm getting a lot of my information now that I'm in lockdown as well. So I thought I would give her a little call and hear more from her about her story. So this is our conversation that we had today, and I hope you like it.
Hello,
Valerie, how are we doing?
I'm I'm fine, thank you.
Did you manage to get something out of the oven?
Yeah, mozzarella sticks and some chili sauce.
Oh, very nice. It sounds a lot better than my lunch of tinned beans.
No, I had some mozzarella sticks, and because I'd been out for a walk, I'd put them in the oven when I got back. And so, yeah, so, and it took about 10 minutes. So, yes, they've been devoured.
Nice.
So I'm all right. It was only, yeah, half a dozen little mozzarella sticks. Healthy, is it? I don't know.
I think this is what we're allowed to do that in lockdown. You're meant to be eating nicer
I'm
food.
Not to eat, and I don't eat biscuits. And I had a big box of biscuits at Christmas for Huggers, which I was going to give to my son. And then they were sat there because I hadn't seen him. And they sat there, and I thought, oh, okay.
Well, if you're ever struggling again, you can send biscuits up to me.
But never mind, so they're nearly all gone now, and once they're gone, that's it, I won't buy any more. So that's it. Yeah, so I'm fine.
So, yeah, I was just going to call and chat to you a little bit about hopefully what got you into nature, and then a little bit into how you ended up kind of coordinating the Osprey page and getting a little bit obsessed with ospreys. So, yeah, you're a self-professed Osprey fanatic.
Yeah, Osprey-itis. Osprey-holic, Osprey whatever, yes.
And that's kind of what I was thinking about the other day and looking into myself, is trying to pinpoint a moment that got me into nature. And I spent a lot of time when I was young out in the garden, but I don't really have a moment that I particularly remember where it kind of hit me. Did you have anything like that, Valerie, when you were growing up?
I've always been interested in nature, animals, birds, nature, everything. Actually getting into ospreys and what that entailed was 2008. So really only ospreys from 2008. But before then, nature, animals, yes, countryside, everything to do with it.
And why was that? Did you grow up? You grew up in the countryside, is that right? And not really.
Yes, I was born in the New Forest. So I was born in Ringwood in the New Forest, so the New Forest was always on my doorstep. So yes, that's always been a big love of mine. I worked for the RSPCA, so I worked out just outside Ringwood, which again was right out in the middle of a forest. So all my days from probably when I was born was actually surrounded by nature, yes. I'm not a town person. I am what I consider a country person.
Right.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, that sounds even more sort of natural and holistic than my childhood. We had quite a nice garden where I grew up, but I didn't really feel like I was in the countryside so much as that. And it wasn't really like there was a moment for you that you could think, oh, this is going to be me now. I'm into nature.
That's a hard one because I've always been involved in nature. I don't think there's any defining moment because it's always been around me. So I don't think there was any defining moment when I thought about getting involved in nature. Again, yes, ospreys, but not, no, nature's always been with me, always. As I say, always lived in the countryside. So I wouldn't want to live anywhere else or be, always nature with me. So I guess there's no defining moment when I've got involved in nature, Fergus.
Oh, well, I guess I'll have to broaden my search. Yeah, maybe it's not, it doesn't exist, the defining moment.
Yeah.
Maybe everyone just is slowly, the more they're exposed to it, the more they just kind of look for it in their lives.
I'm sure a lot of people get into nature probably later on in their life when things quieten down. We're all so busy, aren't we? From the age of, 16, whatever, your life is busy, working, studying, whatever. So perhaps we don't have time for nature, maybe until we're a bit older, I don't know. But because I always lived in the countryside and worked with it, I guess I was lucky, one of the lucky ones, and I didn't have a defining moment. But I'm sure a lot of people do.
I wonder if this time that we all spend in lockdown as a country is going to be sort of a moment for people that allows them to breathe and gives them sort of a moment to really sort of relish the outdoors again.
I think a lot of the animals have now got have now sort of come back at us. You're now the caged people. We can quietly get on with our lives, the birds and the bees and everything else, without you.
It has felt a little bit like that. I had that sort of feeling the other day that this is, we're so used to sort of curtailing the actions of different species that can have a negative effect on them. It's the first time globally that we've really had our whole species kind of curtailed and not able to do what we would normally do. So it was kind of putting us back in like a species specific
position. Well, we're
not position.
Caged, but you know, we are not
restricted,
interfering with nature now, or shouldn't be. So I think it's great for nature what is happening in a way.
Yeah, well, we'll have to. It'll be interesting to look back on this and see what comes out of this. That's kind of what I would be hoping for with the Loch Garten nest, is that because there's so little disturbance going on this season, that we might see ospreys in places that we've not seen them before.
Definitely. I'm sure. I don't know if, Loch Garten, lucky enough, I suppose the ospreys, or at least when there were ospreys there, didn't seem to worry about who was around. But then there's the whole nature around the area is going to be left alone. So, yes, will there be more ospreys in the peace and quiet, thinking, okay, we'll take this nest up, or, the empty nest, or nesting, making nests? Could be.
Because this is what what I was going to say. You being sort of the osprey fanatics from 2008 onwards, and ended up managing this Facebook page. You get a lot of people sort of, you're collating reports of ospreys that you've seen migrating back into the UK.
Mm-hmm. Our Facebook page, thank you, Fergus, if I'm allowed to mention it. Am I allowed to mention what?
It's up to you, I guess, if you want more people to be...
thing is, this it has gone crazy, the amount of members we're getting. We're obviously, people are sat at home with nothing to do and looking for things to watch and everything. So over this last few months, we've probably had about 500 extra members, which is totally unheard of at this time of year. So it has gone a little crazy, but it is Loch Garten. We've kept the name Loch Garten, and it is Loch Garten and other ospreys. But and we don't just cover Loch Garten; we cover all osprey projects and nature as well. Not just osprey projects, nature, anything to do with animals and raptor persecution reports, whatever. But it's a tremendous amount of new members. People looking for something to watch, really.
But that's what I thought was quite interesting about your sort of foray into ospreys. It came from webcams as well, didn't it?
It came from?
From watching webcams.
Yes. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I first, because I had nothing much to do in 2008, I watched Loch Garten and I watched Loch of the Lowes. And from that decided, what am I going to do, because now I've got time. And it was then that I applied to volunteer at Loch Garten and make plans to try and visit every osprey project in the country, which I think I have probably done now. I have to stop and think. But certainly on that, yes. And I made plans for 2009 how I was going to do that, yes.
That's pretty amazing. When I think about the osprey projects that I visited, it must be Loch Garten, Loch Inch, which maybe doesn't even count. and
no, it's not.
Loch of the Lows, and my most foreign one being the Urdubai Osprey Centre in Bilbao in northern Spain.
Yeah, you're lucky to go to Urdubai.
Yeah.
that is one place I'd like to go.
It's fantastic. Yeah, it's one of the most amazing nature reserves I think I've ever been to.
Yeah, you've been there and seen Ator probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I did meet him at Loch Inch. You're talking about Loch Inch. I met him at Loch Inch.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's quite, it becomes its own guild for some reason, you know, the following behind Ospreys, and I think a lot of it is attached to webcams, that people can really get behind watching them, and the sort of fan base really grows. When you compare it to other raptors, I don't think there's many that have a following like Ospreys.
No, they don't. I guess an Osprey is a totally one-off, isn't it? No, certainly Ospreys have a certain... I don't know what it is about them. I mean, it's just such a majestic bird and, beautiful. So, yes, it has a huge following. And we do get attached, obviously, to them because we're watching webcams.
Do you think maybe there's something in the fact that the population is so small when you compare it to other countries that we're actually... You know, you were telling me that you're excited about, I'm trying to remember the nest now, because it has a male pairing that's come from, is the offspring of somebody else?
Are you talking about Blue 5F, who is, who I saw in the Gambia, maybe?
Oh, no. I hadn't even thought of that, you've been out to the Gambia. But
and
along a similar ilk, you know, the people...
Spain.
And Spain.
A Lockgarten Osprey, yes.
That's something that you can only often do with a population that's smaller. Like the British Ospreys, people can get to know sort of almost on a personal basis because they have that sort of connection to them that means that they can have a following, which maybe you wouldn't get in a population in Finland in the same way.
No, true. It's true. I mean, it amazes me... going back to the Gambia, perhaps, well, 5F, who is Blue 5F, who is from Rutland Water.
Right.
She does spend her time in, and she is on a nest now in Wales, but she is seen regularly, has been since 2013, in the Gambia. I went out to the Gambia in 2016 and saw her, and I cried my eyes out, when I saw her, because that is amazing that you can see an osprey where I've seen her in Wales. Seen her in the Gambia, and now seeing her on a nest in Wales. Maybe this year, she's not had her own chicks yet, maybe this year she's going to settle down, although the resident female hasn't come back yet. So maybe she might settle down and have chicks, and it will be her first chicks this year. Yeah. So she is
fantastic.
One very special bird to a lot of people, and everybody is very emotional about her. Yeah,
I think it is amazing to kind of think about that compared to other species, that they can have that emotive response in people. I can't imagine how that must have been seeing her in the Gambia.
Well, yeah, no, it's true. I was upset I went to Portugal recently. And I really wanted to see a UK bird in Portugal, but we didn't. I did see a couple of German ospreys, but I didn't. Even that is quite emotional when you think about it, because we know where they come from. But yeah, it would have been lovely to have seen a UK bird, but unfortunately we didn't. But there we go.
I have to go back.
we've got many friends. Can I just say, a lot of people in our group are from Portugal. We have such a following from Portugal, and they are lovely people, and they entertained us beautifully when we were out there and did all sorts of lots of nice things for us. So lovely people, the Portuguese.
Yeah, it's really a worldwide network, which is it is amazing.
And people must remember, Fergus, that not all ospreys go to West Africa. I know the majority do, and I appreciate that. But it is one of my things. They don't all go there. They do. Some do go to the, well, Spain and Portugal.
You'll never let me forget it, Valerie.
No, you? I know I don't. I know, and I'm sorry. It is one of my things. Sorry, I apologise.
I'm going to
apologise into Tim McCrill as well because I keep calling him that as well.
I'm going to finish up with posing a question on the Lochgarten nest and the projections on that. I had a message or comment from someone called Tomo, who said he's quite pessimistic about what could occur on the Lochgarten nest this year. Doesn't hold out much hope for us having ospreys. What do you think?
Why not?
Why not? I like that optimism. Yeah.
Why would there not be ospreys on the nest at Lochgarten? Why wouldn't there? I don't understand anybody saying that. There can be just ospreys on that nest just as much as any other nest. There should be no reason why not.
I hold a little bit of that pessimism after last year. But kind of through all of this, I'm feeling almost more optimistic that we're going to return to have a pair that have settled down in the quiet. That's what I'm hoping for.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, the things, yeah. I don't know if what is happening now would make any difference, but I'm very optimistic that the Lochgarten, and I was due to come there in July, and I was pretty positive that I would be seeing ospreys on that nest with chicks, and full of optimism that things will turn around for Lochgarten. Yes, absolutely. Yes.
Nice.
Sorry,
well, there we have it. The word from the wise. It's a yes. There's going to be ospreys there when we get out of lockdown.
why pessimist? I don't understand that. I full of optimism for Lochgarten.
Fantastic. Oh, well, thank you so much, Valerie. Thank you for coming on and chatting to me.
It's lovely to talk to you.
All right, and stay safe and keep your distance.
And just remember Lochgarten and other ospreys if you want to join us.
Yeah.
Well, not you personally, but...
Oh, I'm there already.
Thank you. Well done.
All right, thank you, Valerie.
All right, Bergen.
All right, we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, pleasure. Thanks very much.
Bye.
Bye.
So that was my conversation with Valerie Weber there, who filled me in on lots of different things in relation to the Facebook page and a little bit about how she got into nature. And I don't think we really got to the bottom of what it is that attracts people to nature, apart from just being out in it yourself. It was nice to hear about how a lot of people seem to be turning to the Facebook group as a bit of solace in this time indoors, which is nice to know that people are still trying to get their nature fix. So thanks so much, guys. If you made it this far through the podcast, you're doing well. You must be either really enjoying it or really stuck indoors. So hopefully I'll come back next week with another installment, and stay tuned.